Welcome to another episode of the Hinted Neuron podcast. Joining me on the show today is Michael Peters. He has worked as a human resource manager for several firms, and he also runs an online community centered around career and human resource. If you are new to this podcast, please consider subscribing. Also, leave a review with 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you enjoy the show. And now, here's my conversation with Michael Peters. Yeah, so with the whole situation of the pandemic, you know, and everything going on, people were trying to take online classes, people were trying to skill up, and, you know, even people in careers are trying to level up in a way. So I thought it'd be wise to have you on the show to share your own opinions about what you think about the whole situation and what people were doing at the point and the future of maybe work and career in that sense. So I think a good place to start would be to highlight maybe what is the future of work. I don't like that term because the phrase, I don't like it actually because it is used by people who want to sell you courses and seminars to tell you trash. But in your own opinion, what do you think is the future of work, you know, quote unquote, the future of work going on from now?
Okay. Thank you. Thing is, before the pandemic started, people, I personally, this now what I'm about to say is my own point of view and what I've read from books I've read and the rest. Now, a lot of folks, when they hear pandemic has caused a lot of paradigm shift in work and the rest, you hear them say things like, a lot of us will be working from home. They're focused on the where you're working, not on the what you're doing. So a lot of people feel now I have to work from home, but there are some jobs that you can never work from home for. Like if it was die button, banks would still be closed. If you can't work from home, certain institutions would still be closed. They to totally just work from home. But right now, you realize most of the institutions that are closed on lockdown are majorly the ones in court for entertainment. Cinemas, parks, restaurants, and the rest. And these ones, fine, just buy and go. But people are in the corporate world. People wake up 8 o'clock, go to work, and come back 5 o'clock. And like Lagos, they wake up 4 o'clock. But people go to work, and they come back around 5 p.m. The point is, most of them still go to work. So the whole... A very, very large number. I was reading an article recently from LinkedIn, and it was LinkedIn Africa focused. So it was said that despite the pandemic, about 78% of people still work full time in the offices. That is after partial lockdown, after partial reopening. A lot of people still work from our work. So a fewer number of people work from home. So this makes you realize that even before the pandemic, just a minute number worked from home. In fact, a couple of us started working from home already. Especially the tech-related jobs. A lot of people stayed at home and monitored whatever it is they were doing from home. They didn't have to go to work. IT guys only reported to work whenever they need to report to work. Most of all they did was their workstation or their laptops and the rest. So... when you really ask me now, what is this shift? What is the real, in quote, future of the work? I will tell you, it is not where. I'll tell you, it is what is going to change. So I'll tell you a lot of things will change. And when I say a lot, probably not the way a normal, okay, an average person might see it. Now, let me bring it from the angle of Microsoft. Yeah. Microsoft understood this and brought out series of courses they feel people should do because in the next 5 years, because of the lockdown, these sets of courses will be the new things. And they said data analysis, said artificial intelligence, customer representative working from home, social media marketer, and the financial analyst that can work from home. Now these are new trends, new occupations, things that people would do eventually as the world shifts. Because now a lot of jobs that were scrapped were jobs that required you to just sit and carry paper up and down. So now, because as much as people say they pursued a lot of people, a lot of people are no longer doing work. Can't check this data, can't check the stats. It is majorly people who do the paperwork, paper. So now they are shifting from paper to actually creating real databases, real backups, not paper. So all those jobs, paper related, are going obsolete. Eventually, they will totally phase out in the next 5 years. So if you ask me what the future of situation after the pandemic, I would say two types of job related, not where you're working or what you're not working related.
Yeah. I think that's well, I think it's this bias from the industrial age and the manual days to where people had to like go to work. But you see that a lot of knowledge work now just can be done at home. And then since we still have industries, we still have people who have to, you know, go to work and these manual based jobs. And though I don't think they can be depleted, but like maybe most of those jobs would eventually go. I don't know how it would look like. But going forward, I think for now, it's only knowledge based jobs, people who work in information or things that require, that could like just be done anywhere, that see a future for themselves where they will not necessarily have to go anywhere again. Just, they could just like sit down from a cafe or their homes to do the work.
Yeah, exactly. Or, the tech hub, because a lot of guys just use these tech hubs around where I stay. And you just sit there, they just come, a lot of time when you ask them, what are they doing? They tell you they're managing the already platforms for e-learning sites, because a lot of them are into edutech. So you see that they're managing e-platforms for learning and the rest. You understand? So when you see these guys and how they work from their workstations in tech ops, you realize that the truth is, to be honest, before, that's why he said the last time, that before this pandemic, this was what a lot of them were. Do you get? So there are certain rules that you cannot tell that person to not go to office. It is not possible. There are certain rules you cannot stop that person from. Like except you totally bring robots to come and attend to people in banks. There's no way Nigeria is ready for total automation in the banking sector. Except you totally see, at this point, for example, look at the telecommunications industry. Most people that walk into customer care offices or branches, they go there to probably make normal inquiries. And if you realize, people, all these telecommunications giants, they've tried their best to make sure everything you can do is done online. Now, you don't have to come to our place. So it means at some point, maybe An average customer rep agent in MTN will be working from home. Or she has to just pick your call and tell you what you should do. The rest, they will refer you to use their app or go online and go and fix it up. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. But there are certain sectors that you know that you can't just push. For example, as much as people say, let us shift to online learning for students in Nigeria, how do you want to totally bring a laboratory experience online? Like, how do you want a child in chemistry SS2 to titrate, to mix up all those chemicals and tell you that this is what it is from home? There's no way she can. So most times, whatever you'll be teaching will be a lot of theory, less practical. So there are certain sectors you can't really say people will stay at home. Then maybe yes, even though, for example, okay, I participated in an e-learning platform during the pandemic, May, and I realized that it was quite easier teaching them, explaining to people the theoretical aspect of things. In fact, a whole lot of them just started learning new things that they did not really know, maybe because this time it was personal. You know, there's really this online learning brings you closer to your facilitator. So as you were talking, you could ask questions, you were comfortable with the fact that you're at home, nobody would snigger or anything. Man, there was less play. You're dedicating 1-2 hours to full-time learning. Not that you learn this, you go out for break time, or something.
Yeah, exactly.
While they were doing this, I found out that apart from, like I said, the practical aspect, e-learning is probably a future when it comes to learning. But the part of tech that a lot of people are into recently is the part where they just do the whole administration, management of administration. They create software that manages databases, that manages registration of students, that manages dissemination of information and all those. So as much as there will be a shift, I think it is sector related. That's to be certain sectors. Eventually, maybe at some point, slowly, gradually, we'll get there. But for Nigeria, I think it's sector related.
Yeah, that's very interesting because even if we were to talk about this whole aspect of e-learning, because during that time when the pandemic started, was just coming, we saw a lot of people posting certificate on LinkedIn. I mean, that was too much. Yeah, like a lot of people posting certificate on LinkedIn. So I now want to ask, because this stuff is like people are now gaming the whole system. Because it's no longer skills for them; it's now credentials, and I don't blame them, because this is what I feel some HR people would have cost. They pick credentials over skills. So, at what point, like, do you think we can correctly measure people's skills when hiring? Like, from you, from an HR perspective.
Okay. You're right when you said a whole lot of people just acquire certificates without anything possible. Now, there's something certain HR teams have worked with in the past 2 months have done. Now, if you're a tech person, then you just send links to what you have done. They tell you, show me what you have done. They advise you to have your own mini website where you showcase whatever you have done. And that way, you say you're applying for a software developer, show me links to what you have done, give me proof of what you have done. And if it is looking like, because there's a way you know these things. Okay, say for example, now when we recruited for a brand, it's a software developer brand, but they're into marketing of software too. So they wanted to recruit a software developer. When the guy sent his link, he probably thought all HRs, you know, college hours are just art and humanities, and they might not understand what tech is. What he forgot was that particular link was sent to somebody with a software developer that's affiliated to that particular brand. So when they saw it, all they did was they asked a particular question, and he could not answer. Do you get it? So the fact that he could not answer was already the part where we realized that, okay, this one is just, it's lying. This is not his truth. This is not his book. So for tech people, to be very honest, it's quite easier because they just tell you to upload whatever it is you have. Let me see.
Yeah.
But for certain people, it is a technical thing, to be honest. But look at it this way. The stat says the number of certificates in quotes. LinkedIn had, okay, for example, LinkedIn had about the highest number of courses done on LinkedIn during that pandemic period is between March till ending of May was total courses. The course with the highest visit was digital marketing.
Wow.
After digital marketing, data analysis. Now, after data analysis, a lot of people did tech, AI, machine learning, all those things, but most of them were not on LinkedIn. They focused on Udacity because Udacity has its own starts to say that they were on the Dacity and the rest. But LinkedIn was marketing related courses and data analytics. So from there, one would tell you that a lot of people feel, as I'm pressing my phone, let me call school, could be using it to be making money. But they don't understand what you get. So I tell people that what's the point of getting a certification or a certificate when you cannot pay by the work, then you certificate a certification. Now, why do you get certification potential and you still do not use it to get, you still do not acquire the skill that particular course is supposed to teach you? So you learn how to start a podcast, but you did not start it just because you said you learned how to do digital marketing. You did not start it just certificate, just in your head. You learned how to say, for example, you learn how to do a whole lot of things, and you did not practice them, and you just did, which is funny because, to be honest, you had 3 months to actually put them into practice. Now, how would you actually put them into practice? Let's say, for example, you start a course in April, you're done with 3 weeks of training for digital marketing. And then you undo some people's pages for free, Instagram pages, you start email marketing for them, you do a whole lot of things for them, newsletters and the rest, just to show that you can practice what you learn. Now, when HR wants to recruit eventually, it now comes to us saying, okay, we need a social media person. And truthfully, I'll be honest with you. They will ask you, what have you done? So, most times it's also linked to what you have done, which is why a lot of HR people are now using the method of preparing Google Forms for you to fill if you apply for it. So, via Google Forms, you upload your links, your references, and things that we could see physically to know that, okay, this is what you did. Now, because an HR person is not stupid, by the time you upload all those things, you see them, they look very beautiful. Okay, it's very simple. So it's the kind of questions we'll ask you that we should. But I need to understand something too. Most times it takes the applicant to prove his or herself. Now, it takes the HR to understand that one person cannot be totally good. So when you come, you still have to learn in the job. Can I tell people that the best form of learning is actually learning in the job?
Exactly.
So as an HR person, I won't be hard on you if you got the certificate. I'll probably just ask you, okay, now that I have packed all these certificates, there are plenty, what have you used to do? It is when you tell me you do not have, there's nothing, you've not done it, you just got the certificate. That's when, okay, we'll not visit you again. But if you do as little as opening a page, starting with building followers from scratch to probably about 700 in 1 month, putting up content up to like 15 good structures, good use your hashtags well, your captions are wonderful, people you tag are nice, their comments, their communication, their interaction with whatever you are doing, even though they are not much, hey, I'll know that, oh, you have an idea. So the point is, if you can prove that you know what you're saying during your interview, so it simply means while you're on the job, our job is to train to our own standard. Which is why, as crude as, okay, for example, maybe I'm a basic HR, and I got lucky, I got into Microsoft, and working with Microsoft. The way Microsoft would train me is different from the way Deloitte would train me. The way Deloitte would train me is difficult from the way BCG would want me to work. So as much as this is, most times HR just looks at what we need, not what you basically have. So what you have, when we look at what you have, does it match what we need? No, then there's no point. Even though you are the best graphics designer on earth, and you cannot do probably PowerPoint lighthouse, we'll tell you, oh, it's lighthouse we need to cover. So I'm sorry, bye-bye. Do you get? So in the end, pack the certificate, but at least try your best to show that there's something you can do at these things. So someone like me, I don't look at your certification splits at all, like don't. Or more like when I look at your certifications and I see that, okay, certified in Microsoft Office, I'll be like, oh, very clear, certified, okay, come. I need someone who's good in Microsoft Office. Just show me what have you done, what can you do with this and all that. So it is when you cannot prove it, then I move to the next person. You understand? So certifications are just guides for the HR to know what this person has been doing recently. So it is just from those certifications we now ask our questions to show, can you prove that you can match these certifications you've got, these certificates you've got. Do you understand?
Yeah. That's well put. You even touched on something that like is wanting to gain the certification. You also have to prove it. So one of the first ways to prove this is by having a resume or a CV. And I know you do that kind of review. You do CV and resume review. So What's the importance of paying someone to help you so that you could be able to prove yourself in this first instance, to create that first impression? Because I've had some jobs before and I thought I was good at writing my own resume. I thought it was just to put good English there and tell people, okay, this is what I did from all my past experiences. Then I found out that because I had a call with some HR consultant lately and, you know, they told me that this was not even good at all. Something I've been using for some time now. So what's the importance of paying someone for a professional CV review so that you could create that first impression of selling yourself well?
Okay, I think you just said it already. So to me, you just said it like creating that impression. See, I'll pick it from two instances. The first one is they said the HRs will still do it manually. Will still tell you sending your CVs, then they review them one by one. Now, when you open a CV, it does not look nice. They won't waste your time. It's like your CV is the paper definition of dressed the way you want to be addressed. So if your CV is looking scanty, unprofessional, rough, not well organized, one would just open that this person is not serious. I got a CV once and we're recruiting for tech solution company. It's an energy solution company. So they needed someone who would market for them. Which is funny because the owners, more like the board, three of them, one is in Nigeria, the other two are in Germany. So they just needed people who would, all the board members were the ones getting all these big companies on board. So all you had to do, is go to the office to defend what we can do in this company, and then they give you the job. It's that simple. And it's like saying you're a representative, you're closing deals. And then I put up application for the role, and then somebody snapped the CV and sent it to me as a JPEG file. And I'm actually able to be like, they snapped it and sent as a JPEG file, and I was shocked because I was like, what did this person pick me for? Is that? And I didn't even bother to open it. And I told myself that even if that person is the best qualified candidate, I will not open it. Like, do you understand?
Oh, yeah.
Because why would you snap and send a JPEG? And why would he pick? What was the point? So, in a situation where you can really feel you need to say, I tell people that, okay, look at this. Let me take it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but let's take it from a religious point of view.
Yeah.
You are looking, you're chasing something. You're chasing. You never click, don't click. You are chasing, you still don't click. There are some point. What do? You take it to God, yes or no? Why are you taking it to God? You take it to God because you feel that this one requires the power that be.
Sure.
Yes or no? It's the same thing we see. You've written. Don't do normal way. And it's not clicking, so all you have to do is please just take it to the power that be when it comes to CV writing and then write it for you. But most times, the problem with people who write CVs is that they put what you are not inside your CV. So you go to interviews and you don't know how to defend it. Which is why whenever I write CVs, I tell people, send me everything once and for all so that I will write these things for you. That if there's a need to add something, if there's a need to add anything at all, anything whatsoever, I come and I tell the person, I'll be adding this. Especially when it comes to certifications or skills. I'll tell the person, I'll be adding these two things. Now, what you will do for me is I will give you a link to go and learn about these things I had in PC. So you have today and tomorrow to learn because it is like a must because me doing your CV will just be a waste of your money, and even me, I'll be angry that I just decide your CV. Okay, like for example, you say you did engineering or you did architecture, and then you can use AutoCAD.
Mm.
I don't know if you get my point. Or
yeah, I understand.
You cannot calculate simple with all those fluid mechanics, all those normal calculations, and maybe you say you're a graphic designer, and current trade is the only tool you can use. I don't know if you get my point. I'm not saying you cannot use Corel. You should not be able to use only Corel, but you're not telling that, okay, it's Corel 3 that you can use. How? When we are in 2020, Do you get it? So what I will do is I'll tell you I've added certification in Corridor 6 and I've put Corridor 6 among your skills. So take this link. Can't make sure you complete this between that now. So me on my own part though, I fulfilled my own righteousness. So it's your own part to fulfill your righteousness. And that is the part for normal HR. Now from the angle of ATS, as an applicant tracking system, this is a new trend. So it's like this technology scans out irrelevant CVs. They will have put in keywords, put in important things that the machine, the software should scan for. So while it goes through it and they see that it does not have these major things, pushes it out. For example, when the way people write CVs are two, so people write their CVs qualitatively, so people write their CVs quantitatively. And when you write your CV qualitatively, it's like say, I worked for Kelvin and Sons Limited and helped with registering attendance. I set responsibilities. I delivered babies. I did this. So I am just telling you what I did. Yes. Now, the other quantitative is I participated in trainings of about 1,000 staff that led to 35% improvement in output. I increased sales from 60% to 50%. Using this method, this method, this method. I introduced social media marketing, which led to an increase in sales by 5%. I met this. You see how that is quantitative, that is figurative, that is telling you measurable things that you have done with where you were when you were working.
Yeah.
So some ATS are designed to filter those things out. If your things don't have your CV does not have quantitative things. You just filter it out. The whole of your CV like package is more than one more. You filter it out. Why the other ones stay? Well, so ATS are designed to just pick out keywords. So if you don't have keywords, some are even structured to pay out, which is why you see certain AI sites now. They're going to upload your CV, and the CV will scan it automatically and tell you how they rate your CV, the strength of your CV. So that's because those ones have also been designed with certain elements of ATS and what an ATS system would look out for. So if push comes to shove, I always advise give it to somebody. And most times, I'm very sorry to say this, most times I prefer when you give it to somebody you know to design for you. Why is there's this company that does CV that almost everybody knows. And when you do your CV there, they reply in probably a week time. And then when your CV comes back, they send you the Word document and they send you the PDF. Now, when they send you that, you will not be able to reply them back by just like, they don't do your acknowledgement back. They expect you to complete it, your Microsoft Word. So the point is, if I could complete it in my Microsoft Word, why did I pay you? Because I cannot do it. That is why I paid you to do it for me. Now you've done it and I'm seeing that this is not nice enough. But you're telling me to lag and do it in my Microsoft Word. How would it work? It won't work. So most of the time, I advise people, it's not that, you know, Nigerians are obsessed with this fact of I do not call it a designer CV. So I want to give somebody who you know who do it well, somebody who's your guy, or somebody who, even though he's not your guy, somebody who is not yet blown per se. Not like he does not do CVs, but he's not yet blown. But you've seen what he can do, you've heard testimonies, give it to the person. So that by the time the person tells you, you feel that, oh, there's this part I don't like. Okay, I wrote CV for someone yesterday. I said it to her. She told me, I forgot to add this, I forgot to. I told her in a sinner climb, I'll not answer you. But joking, I still did it for her. Like, you get, and her CV is fine, and she has applied, which is fine because she texted me 2 hours ago that she's up for interview now. She come and do
interviews. That's nice.
So if you know someone like that, it is better so that you can relate to the person. The person can explain to you what you need to do.
So I was also like coming towards that part of, you know, ATS software and artificial intelligence and the role that these tools are going to play. I think you've already answered part of that question, if not everything. But what do you think is going to change massively now around maybe just AI in general in imagine and maybe existing markets of human resource and recruiting? What do you think might change drastically?
Oh, okay. I think the only thing that I would change, to be honest, is the person that has the skill to run the AI system. Is that simple? It is actually that simple. Now, how will I put this? You don't have the skill, but this is what we want. Okay, fine. No, I'll move on. Even HR, there's a trend shift. Things are changing. Okay, there are different branches of HR. Everybody knows. Now, there's generalist. Now the generalist is someone that does almost everything from the basics. So, but normally, there are people who are into compensation and benefits. So people are into strategic management. So people are into organizational behavior. So people are into training, onboarding. So people are into discipline and the likes. So people are recruitment, training, and management of talent pool. Now, there's not a trend, there's a shift. What is the shift? Now, the shift is called HR analysts. So these are people that they will tell you that what you're supposed to do is provide data-driven solutions to our human resource management. That's all. So it means if you are telling me this is the next way forward, you're not telling me because it is, you are telling me because this is what the data sees.
Yeah.
You've done the analysis, you've done market evaluation, everything. So this is the right thing to train our staff in. And this is the right thing to let our customer know we are doing. Because your customers is also part of your HR in a way, indirectly, yeah. Because they're the ones you are dealing with. So HR also focuses on customers. So you let them know that this is what you're doing. So as much as you'll be able to know those basics, compensation and benefits, all those ones, yes, no wala. But at the same time, you should be able to provide solutions, which is why I say, is replacing strategic management. Now, as much as this is happening, would somebody like me who say I want to do sales, I want to do HR, let us sit down and not really try my best to understand what it means to be an HR analyst. So the moment I fail to do so, what happens to me 2 years time when the market is looking for a HR analyst? Would they employ me? I most likely not be employed. So I tell people that it is somewhat, see, if there are 1 million robots today to replace people at the banks, then it is somebody that will create it.
Yeah, sure.
So if that person does not have the skill, then why are we employing you? In fact, tech is taking over in a way that, to be honest, to be very honest with you, it actually provides more jobs than it is making jobs go.
Exactly.
People don't want to see from that angle yet.
Yes. It's
providing more jobs than to actually make. For example, an HR analyst is expected to look for data sets, expected to look for target markets, expected to do this, do that, compile everything, and is still expected to prefer a solution using a model. But in the real sense, there should be somebody different that his own job is just to collect data.
Yeah.
In the real sense, there's somebody that is your job is to analyze it. In the real sense, there's somebody else that is your job is to just use this result from the data to forecast and to probably prepare a model that they can work on. So, in the end, these 3 or 4 subsets of analysis for each I just said now, you don't have the skill, we need to employ you.
Yeah.
You understand? As much as they said, Google might chase by retrench about 10,000 people. I'm telling you that they will still be forced to probably employ new 10,000, but it will be a different thing. It will not be the old thing. Maybe things have changed, so it will be a different thing. I mean, I can sit in my house right now and do recruitment using Google Talent Solution. Use Google Talent Solution, put it out there. Somebody will just Google jobs in Kano. And you see jobs in Canada, the ones that are related to you, and you apply. It's that simple. Do you get? But it also means if a company wants somebody who will use Google Talent Solution, I can't use it. So what is the point? You understand?
Yeah.
So basically, this is the whole thing that people are looking at. The whole thing that people are scared of. That and that even social media, as much as it's not tech. It is still the new future. It's actually, it's still part of the future. If you know how to manage it, people are not just looking at it yet. People don't see that way. Even, what do they call this now? Project management.
Yeah.
It's no longer looking like project management because they're not calling new words for it. They're not calling it product management. So
exactly,
you as a product manager means you will not just manage the tech product or whatever product they're pushing into. You manage the team that are producing that product. You manage the resources that will go into that product. You manage the financial aspect. You manage these things. So you as a project manager, you need to start looking at the tech aspect of it. So you need to start looking at the broad aspect of it so that when that time comes, you'll not be left out. So yes, things will change. But the thing is, are you willing to go with that change? If you are not, okay, fine. We accept you've made your decision. If you are, fine, you've made your decision.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You've talked about like what will change, you know, around the HR side. But what about the people building these tools and bias? Because you are a data analyst yourself and you understand that a lot of bias could happen in terms of the data or where the data is coming from or how the data was generated. How do we account for bias? And also in the people building these tools, what do you think would be your own opinion for, you know, to tell them, okay, this is how bias could be incorporated in an HR system an HR process? What do you feel is just one thing that if you saw someone building these tools, you could like just tell them?
The data is not biased. In fact, whatever you said is not biased. It's just filtering. You filter the words you don't want now. So it's not really biased. Okay, everybody's applied, then you tell the system, anybody that does not have second class of pursue me. Anybody that does not have skills and so, bring that CV to my front. Anybody that has no scoping the experience related to this job I'm looking for, don't bring the person to my front. So, in the end, the people they will bring to your front will be people that are qualified. If you're using tech, or if you're using the fact that the common conversation on that bias, I'm going to tell you honestly, there's no bias. It's just filtering. You've removed what you don't want and you're focusing on what you want. So what's the good part? The good part now is, this is what I want. Can I get it? Yes. If not, no. But you should understand that the Nigerian system is a system that we need to study differently. Because as much as, imagine a situation, this is not even, I'm not going to mention company name, but this happened where ATS has done its job. ATS has picked the last 10 people after all the filtering and everything. Now, focus on this 10, won't you? No, the HR decided to call somebody that he wants for the job. And so in the end, the whole 10 CVs that ATS brought up became useless.
Yeah.
So who is biased now? Everything not in tech. Is the HR. It's the same thing that was the name of this company recently, Unilever. Unilever tried to recruit recently. And if you see the mode of their recruitment, it was serious, like very serious. Because of the pandemic, you started with a normal application online. If you pass that step, you move on to the next one. The next one is an audio recording. Move on to the next one after that one is a video recording. No, before the video recording is an online test. IRV. IRV is a platform where you go. It's a new tech, so AI solution to recruitment where by the time you escape, so you play games. Normal games, but those games have evaluated the kind of person you are. So if you're a perfect fit for the job, they pick you. If you are not, move on. So that's what it does. It's a game. Just play the game, and by the time you play the game, you are done. So that was what the next step. After that step, the next one was, I forgot the name of that platform they used for that last one. It was almost the same thing to you. Go for a video interview. This one, nobody is interviewing you. They just set questions down. You see the questions and you answer. Do you get? So even that thing, by the time you are doing is AI that would clear everything, that would still filter people they don't want. So that way, these people, they will have a hand at all in whatever it is that is happening with triple net purpose. All they are doing is monitoring the process, monitoring the stages and everything till they decide that, okay, this is the last 10 people, let's invite these ones for physical interview.
Do you think like maybe for, because you, I know you are quite opinionated about some things around gender and equality, and maybe after the whole filtering of, you know, using some kind of ATS software, that maybe the whole filtering process got you results that are skewed towards one particular kind of gender. How do we now begin to account for maybe equality? Maybe, okay, now we now need to, you know, what would I say, mess around with what we've done, since the process of the filtering gave us very skewed results. We want to like make this whole recruitment process balance in a way whereby we every kind of gender is equally represented. I don't know if you have opinions on that too.
So question is a very technical question, thanks to recent trends. So to be very honest, when ATS has job is done its job, and maybe the last thing comes out, to be very honest, there's a very high chance that it will be balanced. Honestly, balanced, like there will be girls and there will be boys. There's a very high chance that there will be boys and there will be girls. And in fact, it may be so terrible that there might be more boys than girls due to the normal climate. Now, if Paraventure, God is good, God now shows us that his father, all of them girls, then, to be honest, it depends on the number of people they want to recruit. If they want to recruit just two, I do not see a reason why the two should not be girls. If all the old 10 are boys, they want to recruit just two, I do not see a reason why the two should not be boys. I don't know if you get my point. Why do I say so? Based on the objectives, the basics we have given ATS, ATS has come out to tell you these 10 are the best fits. Unluckily, unfortunately, one gender is not represented. So it means you have to go back to tell ATS to, okay, I'm sorry, remove some of these things. Maybe we would not see girls. So by the time you are doing so, you're already reducing the standard of what you're looking out for.
Yeah.
I think you can
sure. Yeah, sure, I understand you.
But if it's a situation where out of that 10, you want to employ 6, then yes, you can use your discretion to now say, okay, let us go back to God, pick some people that we feel okay, they're okay, and we can use them just for gender balance. You understand?
Yeah.
But if it is not more than 2, I do not see any reason why you cannot pick 2 girls or 2 boys. And let's move on. Because the other gender was not qualified, so let's move on.
Yeah.
But if you feel you are going to be recruited more than 5, more than 6, then okay, go back. Go and check so that you balance it out.
Yeah. That was well put. That was well put. I don't want to waste more of your time, though I have more questions. But what do you think is like one thing that people don't know about HR and recruitment? That one thing that people don't know and it puts them into so much trouble.
People feel HR people are wicked. people feel this HR person is very wicked, and it's not true. I feel although some people was about fun, let's be honest. But I think if you have an interview, the problem is most people do not prepare for the interview. They just go and just go with inshallah vibes, and they don't prepare totally well for the interview. So when you do not prepare totally well, how do you expect to pass? So sometimes, okay, I remember when I went for an interview once when I just left secondary school, the man asked me, can you write a lesson or apply to teach? Yeah, the career lesson, but I said yes. So the person take the job, I could not do. I said yes. He said, okay, take a paper, write something and come back. I was looking. I felt very stupid. So he asked me, what happened? I now have to tell him I cannot do. So I did an answer I could. I said, I'm very sure. I thought it's a normal writing process. He said, okay. But I immediately chipped in. I told him, but I'm willing to learn. And in fact, if you give me one I can pick up today, I'll come back better with it. Trick it. And I think that was okay. So it would be good if people understand that. By God's grace, the new generation of HR people coming up will not kill you. I've met a lot of them. So I have a feeling the new generation will be very, very wonderful. So when you meet these people, you understand that they will know that you're a human. And I'm human too. So there are certain things I want. You need to understand that what the company wants is what the company gets. If you do not have it, it means you don't have it. So most questions a normal HR person will ask you during an interview are questions that will be structured towards him getting the right candidate for the job. Because if he doesn't or if she doesn't, there will be query to fill. The HR too will query, HR query HR now. It will be your colleague that they will tell you to give you queries. Yeah. That's simple, because you're part of the staff. So people should understand that the point is not that we are coming here to kill you. The point is we will ask questions that are related to what we want in our organization. If you can answer them, for example, you can come with the best CV that shows that you're, like I said, a very good graphic designer. But you cannot use Adobe, you cannot use Photoshop, you cannot use CorelDRAW. You say you can do all these things. So why would I employ you? Maybe I ask you a question related to you can answer. So you now look as if how more those people they will get the question they ask. You understand? So basically, I will be glad if people see from that point of view that these people are really trying to just do their jobs and not really try to look out. I mean, there's a difference between being rude and not. Some people are rude though, don't get me wrong. Some HR are rude though, don't get me wrong. But I mean, there's a way people think it is fight. HR is my police. And then people should also understand, I want people who have used Connect, people who have Connect, that they are telling you, no, we'll just go for time, just show for it. When you get there, still behave. Because a lot of things can happen. The person can, if it is not the owner of the company that told you to come, that is interviewing and is a HR, that person can go and take the boss and say, this person that you brought was doing big boy for me. I don't think the person is there. And the boss would really want something good for a company or his company. Tell you a story. I'm telling you based on experience. But someone they told to go and pick up a job in the back. I think it's a usage. That was the story we were told. He went there confidently, cross-legged, was listening, was felt like he has got the job. So I just go rep and come back. I was a bit disappointed. So basically,
That was very interesting. I think those are very good points. I like that everybody should know. So now we are getting close. We are already close to the end of this talk. But I just want to put you on a spotlight. Like, just say anything you want to say that for the listeners, because everybody, Hinted Neuron podcast is heard by almost everybody in the world. So just say one thing. Just one thing that you want to say. Just, I'll put you on the spotlight now. Anything you want to say.
I like to say, give it your best. Totally, just give it your best. And wait. Just relax. And wait. And something else. I'm not as this might sound weird, but is it true? Especially in the Nigerian climate, African climate. If you apply for a job, if you get caught for an interview, try to be honest as possible. But also, understand that, okay, for example, I got a role not too long ago, and I was told to apply for a, I applied for a role as a startup analyst. Apart from opening data, uploading the data, there's nothing else I can do in startup. But when they called, they asked questions, I was actually like a bad guy, and like a pro. And they gave me the job and they gave me to prepare for whatever it is that I would do for that week's objective. And I spent the full day skilling myself like this. I wonder did that come and keep like a pro when I now. So instead of really giving up totally for certain roles, try your best to understand that when it comes, embrace it and do the dirty job, do the rigorous job and understand it. And then move on. Because in the end, it's
very easy for everyone. Yeah, that was really nice, man. I think I also learned some new things today, and I hope people listening would pick up one or two things from this podcast. It was nice having you on the show today.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
thank you for sharing your bits of wisdom with us today. Hello there. That's it for me today. Hope you enjoy my discussion with Michael Peters. Please, if you enjoyed this episode, share it and subscribe. Also, check the link on the description to rate this podcast. Check the link on the description. Just click it, rate this podcast. And also follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Hinted Neuron. That's it for me. Until next week.